Good morning, and thanks for joining us on Thursday, May 22nd, 2014. It's 9:08, and we welcome you to the special Federal Drive Live panel discussion. I'm Tom Temin.
I'm Emily Kopp. Our producers are Lauren Larson and Sierra Crawford. Now, as part of Federal News Radio's special report, Trust Redefined, Reconnecting Government and Its Employees, we'll talk with three federal employees at different stages of their careers. Now, one is a newer, younger employee, another has come from the private sector, and the third has been a federal employee for decades. We'll get their views on trust at work.
And let's meet them. Tyler Robinson is a portfolio risk officer at the Export-Import Bank of the United States and chairman of the Executive Board of Young Government Leaders. Tyler, good morning.
Good morning.
And Lena Trudeau is Associate Commissioner for Strategic Innovations at the GSA. Lena, always good to have you. Good morning.
Thanks, Tom. Good morning.
And Tony Regalbuto is Chief of the Office of International and Domestic Port Security at the Coast Guard after 30 years in uniform there. Tony, great to have you back.
Good morning, Tom.
And we should say that we are talking as individuals and not representing any particular agency. But briefly, I'd like to know a little bit about what you do and how you define trust at work. I'm actually going to start with the newer, younger among us. Tyler, how many years have you been in the federal government?
Well, I've been in the federal government for about 5 years, and before that I worked in the state of Oregon for about two and a half years. So I've had about 7 total years of public service, and I've been in D.C. for the last 4 years. And I've been in my agency for about 3.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what you do at the Export-Import Bank and how you think trust plays into your office.
So my current position is mostly looking at the risks of different transactions that the bank does. We do loans and loan guarantees. And from my perspective, I look at the different transactions and we kind of assign what is the risks of those particular transactions for the bank so that we can properly reserve and protect the taxpayer.
And what's your definition of trust at work?
So my definition of trust at work, I kind of was thinking about this before our conversation today, and it leads into about 2 different buckets. The first is trust in terms of, do I trust you where what you say is accurate, is truthful? And that's kind of a must have, where if I can't trust that what you're telling me is the truth, then that's going to lead to a lot of problems. The second area is more of a, I trust you to act as if in a certain way. So maybe I'm working for a manager or senior leader or something like that, that I trust that if I am doing something, you have my back, or you're not going to throw me under the bus if different things happen. Or I trust that if I tell you something in confidence, that that thing doesn't leak out to other things. If those areas of trust where I trust you to do something after I do something, or you do something just independent, doesn't happen, that's going to cause some problems. But if I learn those different things about different people, I can kind of manage that situation, where if I know that if I can't tell you something in confidence, then I'm probably not going to tell you something in confidence. But if I can't trust you where if you tell me something and it's going to be a lie or untruthful, that's kind of a must-have for me.
And Lena, you are the one who has come from the private sector to government, so you have those two different perspectives. So I want to ask you a little bit about how you view trust at work, and also because you, like Tony, you are both managers.
Yes. Well, I don't think of trust as a strictly sort of government type of issue. It really is an organizational issue. Anytime you are trying to do any kind of meaningful work with others and need to take risks, you need to have trust in place if you're going to be able to do that effectively. My personal philosophy around trust is really best summed up by a great Ernest Hemingway quote that goes, the best way to find out if you can trust someone is to trust them. I tend to give trust at the beginning. That's not what all people do. Some people really make you earn it before they give it. I tend to give it and see what you do with it. And then make decisions from there. But in my experience, although I've been disappointed a few times in what people have done with the trust that I've given them, in the vast majority of cases, people have been much more empowered than they would have otherwise been and have achieved results we wouldn't have achieved if we hadn't started off from that position.
And in the government versus the private sector, I mean, is there really any difference between the general level of trustworthiness?
No, I don't think there's – well, in fact, I've met some incredibly trustworthy people who are publicly, you know, public service motivated in government. That's not to say that's different from the private sector. I think if anything, the public service motivation of people that serve government, either from private sector or public sector, helps with that establishment of trust. But there is a difference, in my view, in the public sector versus the private sector, and this is just in my own personal experience. I think in government right now it's particularly tough, and that's because the organizations that we lead and manage are really large, complex organizations, and the challenges in front of us are enormous. And a lot of our leadership turns over fairly frequently. And although that happens in the private sector, the rate of turnover in the public sector that I've witnessed just in my tenure has been really kind of extreme. So what that means is we need to build trust on a much more rapid cycle and more often than I've experienced in the private sector. And I just think that's really hard for anybody.
And Tony, let's get you to weigh in on this. Now, first of all, tell us how long you've been with the federal government.
Yes, so 31 years active duty in the Coast Guard and now 12 years as a civilian.
Okay, and when you are chief of your own office as well, so you're a manager. So tell us how you view trust, and I'm also curious to know how it's formed through those four decades in the government.
I come from a unique perspective, being part of a military organization. So we have core values in the Coast Guard of honor, respect, and devotion to duty. And each accession point in the Coast Guard, when you join the Coast Guard, you get introduced to those core values. And trust is part of that. So the way I define trust is really, as you're a newbie in government, in any position, that you have to learn followship first. And then as you get more senior in the organization, then your leadership ability starts coming out. And you look at those qualities in the people that are senior to you, and you try to pick out the good qualities that are important to follow and see the things that don't work. And so I've had bosses that I did not trust, and I actually have had to close the door and actually talk to them offline, from a respect standpoint, to let them know how other people had seen them. And I thought that was important, and it built up credibility with my boss, and it changed the relationship because I was, you know, being honest with him to be able to do that. And so I've tried to learn as a leader now, too, is try to listen to my people. I like Stephen Covey's Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And one of those things is to seek to understand before you seek to be understood. And so as a leader, you really have to have your listening ear on to be able to hear what their concerns are before you then try to put out what your vision may be, because you really want to empower them. And part of the trust issue is you want to empower them, that you have the confidence that he or she is going to be able to go out and do good things for the Coast Guard.
Now, we had Bob Tobias, who, you know, has been on a lot of federal advisory panels throughout his career, and also he now teaches leadership at American University. And one of the things he pointed out from one of the most recent studies, or one of the most recent government-wide surveys, is that there's a disconnect between the GS-15s and the senior executive service, those people as a group, and everybody else. And so that seems to be something that's causing some morale issues in government. What's your experience with respect to, does something happen when someone hits the GS-15 or SES level, or is maybe you've seen a different observation?
Yeah, I think that probably, again, from my perspective, because I was a military officer first, it was less, I think, transition for me because I had lots of leadership courses and real-world experiences to draw from. My sense in government and looking at the Department of Homeland Security as a new component, that you have a lot of people that are coming in, political appointees and all, and you also have people that may have had that their technicians in their jobs as 12s and 13s and possibly even 14s. But as you start to get into that leadership position, I don't think we've done a good job in government to teach those leadership skills that they need to develop that trust with their folks. I think one thing that government could do also is that looking at 360 evaluations of your people. I think that what I have seen is that when you get evaluations for people that are junior to you, that are your peers, and that are senior to you, you get a much better flavor of how people perceive you. And that I would hope that they would do that. I think we would pick even better leaders in the Coast Guard going forward if we had such a system.
I want to ask Tyler, it seems like it's appropriate to ask you to weigh in on this because you are not a manager and you just referred to trust as being something that, well, you know somebody is not going to throw you under a bus. So when you look at the managers you've had,
or the metro,
or a bike, or what have you, but basically, who is not going to sacrifice you? When you look at the managers that you've had, past and present, does trust seem to be something that is on the radar in any sort of tangible way, or is it just kind of maybe it's there or not there, but not so much talked about and discussed and acted upon?
Well, I've been fortunate to have both many managers, probably 10 or 12 in the last several years, and also very highly skilled managers. I typically, when I start working in a particular job, after a while of them trusting me, because it goes both ways, where a manager that is not trusting that what I'm going to do, if I say I'm going to do something and I don't come through, that can be a hard thing. So when you're trying to, I guess, prove yourself and get that trust going both ways, a lot of times I just start walking into offices. A lot of my managers have had the open door policy, and open door policy for me is I come in and I sit down, and I sit down and I wait, or what have you. And those conversations have been the best way for me to develop that trust both ways, where I can come in. It's not I'm sending an email to my boss and copying three other people higher than them. So kind of developing it from a personal interaction standpoint has been important. I don't think we've had conversations of like, do I trust you? Or I come in like, I'm not really trusting you today. But it's more of a mutual understanding that when I say I'm going to do something, I kind of do it. And I show up when I say I'm going to show up. And it comes from the other ways. In terms of the throwing under the bus, it's more of I've been able to be in different senior management meetings and stuff like that. And sometimes I've not done a good job on things. Sometimes I've done a good job on things. And the bosses that I've had that have been most effective, I have a few right now that are very, very effective in this, is that they will give you praise when you've done well. And when you're not doing well, they'll help you along in those conversations. And then afterwards, they'll take out the red pen and write on your paper, it's like, we need to edit this, we need to edit this, and edit this. But when you're in a meeting with the head of an agency or something like that, they're not going to be saying, well, yeah, Tyler didn't do his job type of thing. Fortunately, we've developed that trust beforehand, so it doesn't come to that. But it's more of a mutual trust going both ways. It's not just a one-directional trust.
You're listening to a special Federal Drive discussion on trust in the federal government. We're going to take a short break. This is all part of our special report on Trust Redefined, Reconnecting Government and Its Employees. And our guests today are Tyler Robinson, Portfolio Risk Officer at the Export-Import Bank of the United States and Chairman of the Executive Board of Young Government Leaders, Lena Trudeau, Associate Commissioner for Strategic Innovations at the General Services Administration, and Tony Regalbuto, Chief of the Coast Guard Office of the International and Domestic Port Security and a retired Coast Guard Captain. This is the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp, Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our special live Federal Drive discussion as part of Federal News Radio's special report, Trust Redefined, Reconnecting Government and Its Employees. We're talking with three federal employees at different stages in their careers. I'm Tom Temin.
I'm Emily Kopp. Our guests today are Tyler Robinson. He's a Portfolio Risk Officer at the Export-Import Bank, also Chairman of the Executive Board of Young Government Leaders. Tony Regalbuto is Chief of the Coast Guard Office of International and Domestic Port Security and a retired Coast Guard Captain. And Lena Trudeau is Associate Commissioner for Strategic Innovations at the General Services Administration. And Lena, I want to start with you. I'd like to talk a little bit about how agencies and bosses and employees all actively work to build trust. First of all, does that happen in GSA?
Absolutely. In my experience, it does. And I can speak to my experience as an employee coming into government for the first time 3 years ago. And I can speak as well to someone who has built a team and what we've intentionally done there. But when I arrived at GSA 3 years ago, I think Tony really nailed it when he talked about the importance of listening. I listened. I talked to a lot of folks and really listened to what they had to say. And I asked a lot of questions. I tried very, very intentionally to come at challenges or problems that I saw in a very constructive way. I'd been brought in to really be a change agent. And so if that's going to be a successful endeavor, you need to really have people on your side and feeling like you're in their corner and working with them and for them, not there to do something to them. But I also found people who'd accomplished things and partnered with them. I can recall very clearly Mary Davey giving me some real street cred when I'd come in early days. It helped that she and I had a pre-existing relationship. But that credibility of working closely with her spread to other folks as well. So those are just a few of the things that I found really worked for me.
And Lena, I want to ask you there, when you're talking about your own employees, you welcome them into your office. You want to listen to them. They don't really want to say anything that could make you think negatively of them or what they might be doing. So how do you get them to open up and trust you?
Well, I don't know how many folks have met the people who form the cadre of Presidential Innovation Fellows or the employees of 18F. They're not shrinking violets. In fact, they have many times really firmly held opinions on a number of subjects. And so actually, they don't have any trouble speaking up in my experience. Although, of course, you always have to realize that even though you might have a team that's mainly extroverts, there are the introverts in the crowd and you want to make sure you draw them out as well. But what we try and do right from the beginning is set up a culture that really is very flat and isn't about accountability up, but rather accountability to one another on the team. And building trust really comes from working closely together and delivering under tight timelines. That's how, in a formal way, the trust has been built over time. In less formal ways, it's also really important if you're working closely with a team to spend some time together away from work or even at work but on non-work issues, right? To really get to know one another, build relationships, understand who you're dealing with, what their strengths are, and how you can come together more effectively as a team. So when we bring new Presidential Innovation Fellows on board, we have a very intentionally planned onboarding process that includes both sort of formally organized events and social events as well.
And Tony, you come from the perspective of four decades in the government, also from the Coast Guard, which has a very clear formal process of building trust, both with employees and leaders. So what are the best practices that you take and that you see the partners that you work with on international as well as domestic port security at the Coast Guard now?
Yeah, it does go back to listening. I can give you an example. As we created our new program to go and assess 160 countries that trade with the United States after September 11th, what we noticed was that we have to be invited in. We couldn't force our way in that the United States wanted to come in and look at their ports because it was their sovereign responsibility to carry out the international requirements to put those new security provisions in place. And so we first invited ourselves in, sent letters, and received many replies back saying, yes, we invite you in. We're looking to share best practices with you. And then we had other countries like Russia and China and Brazil that said that, we just don't trust what's going on here. So what I did was it wasn't in the law at all, but we created a reciprocal program, and we invited those countries to come to the United States first so that we could show them what we were doing in the United States and that we would give them open communications and ask their questions and built up that trust with them first. And then we would then go to their country and share all those best practices that we learned. And we took the position that we didn't know it all. This was a new area for, port security after 9/11, that it was a new business line for us. So we tried to take the practice that it's not what the U.S. is doing. We're pulling all the best practices from even the developing countries that don't cost a lot of money and try to then sell those ideas to the other folks, and we're trying to learn from them too.
And if I can just follow up on that, I'm wondering how external events, for example, Brazil has been very critical of the National Security Agency's spying. China now, we have a Justice Department complaint against its military in terms of cybersecurity spying, and we all know what's going on with Russia. So how do you work to maintain that trust? Because you have these daily operations with your counterparts there when all of these external factors might come in to hurt it.
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think that because the Coast Guard has great credibility internationally, at the International Maritime Organization, I also work at the Asian Pacific Economic Cooperation for the Asian Pacific countries, and also the Organization of American States. So we're working with these folks all the time, and so we have a sense, and we have that credibility, and they trust us that we're trying to give them the right positions.
I think it's some words that Tony used I really want to highlight, because trust doesn't exist disconnected from other things. You talked about credibility, and you talked about learning, and you talked about respect, what I heard wrapped up in what you were talking about is something we hold dear to our hearts at 18F, which is delivery, really demonstrating that you can add value consistently, and the integrity of doing what you say you're going to do. All of those things contribute to the ability to build trust. And so it seems to me it's all very much interconnected.
Now, a lot of federal agencies have had their issues of trust. There have been military, assault issues, and GSA had some issues a few years ago. You can go through the entire federal government, and we're not going to focus on those in particular. But what I was wondering, Tony, is when there is some, say, atmosphere of those kinds of things going on and everybody's thinking about the whole topic, in the Coast Guard, for example, it gets down to people on a platform. It might be a boat, it might be a helicopter, it might be a small confined area where it looks externally like, oh, look, they're riding a boat. But really, it's a life and death situation and a very confined one, and you're with those people day or night. How does trust, especially vertically between leadership and those that are led, come into play in situations where there really is life and death pressure, and so that you can maybe leave out the externalities that might be in the newspapers?
Well, I've played sports my whole life, and so recognizing how teams work together and that you cannot be successful as an individual. So you have to work with the team. You have to have that trust. The team members are going to carry their load and that they're going to watch your back to make sure that if you're taking a wrong step, that somebody's going to try to guide you and try to move you back on course. So I think that it's trying to work through those relationships that really work quite well. I had an example when I was up in Portland, Maine, many years ago as a lieutenant commander, and we had our senior enlisted was a chief, and the enlisted folks obviously, do great things for the Coast Guard, and we rely upon them to do all the things that really, the action things that really are needed to get the job done. And I heard, through background noise that the chief had some issues with me. And so I was new, trying to feel my way through, and I called him into my office, and we cleared the air. I talked with him, and I put the issues on the table. And I think it was quite helpful because I think that working through that adversity, our relationship really improved, and that we became very close together and worked together in dealing with new issues as they came forward.
Yeah, Tyler, that was a great point about the sports teams and different things. And it's something I've seen in terms of building trust is when you go through the downs, when you go through the hard times, that's when trust really starts to build. I've seen it in myself in different teams or different agencies or different groups where when things are going bad, then people start coming together and like we need each other to be able to survive this. And in those situations, that's when trust gets built.
All right. We'll talk more about overcoming challenges after a break. You're listening to a special Federal Drive discussion on trust in the federal government as part of our special report, Trust Redefined, Reconnecting Government and Its Employees. Our guests today are Tyler Robinson, Portfolio Risk Officer at the Export-Import Bank, also Chairman of the Executive Board of Young Government Leaders, Tony Riegel-Buto, Chief of the Coast Guard Office of International and Domestic Port Security, and Lena Trudeau, Associate Commissioner for Strategic Innovations at the GSA. You're listening to Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to our special live Federal Drive discussion as part of Federal News Radio's special report, Trust Redefined, Reconnecting Government and Its Employees. We're talking with three federal employees at different stages in their careers. Our guests today are Tony Riegel-Buto. He's chief of the Coast Guard Office of International and Domestic Port Security and retired Coast Guard captain. Lena Trudeau is Associate Commissioner for Strategic Innovations at the GSA, and Tyler Robinson, Portfolio Risk Officer at the Export-Import Bank of the United States and Chairman of the Executive Board Young Government Leaders. I'm Tom Temin, along with Emily Kopp.
And I want to ask you all about external factors, whether it's quote-unquote Fed bashing on Congress or tough budget cycles where tough decisions have to be made or something else, and how that impacts trust between coworkers. And Tyler, I want to start with you because you are the chairman of the Executive Board of Young Government Leaders. What do young people in government worry about when it comes to trust in these external factors, particularly as you plan your careers for decades to come?
Yeah, it's an important question, especially as you're early in your career and just trying to figure out what you want to do when you grow up, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And I figure myself, I'll probably figure that out the day before I retire.
You never figure it out,
me. That's what I hear. And as I get older and older, that's kind of comes to fruition. But in terms of trust for planning about your career, I think it kind of goes both ways where in terms of different jobs, even when you have a high level of trust if in your organization or in the government or different managers you've been in, the trends seem to be for at least young people is that you're going to be staying in the job 2 to 3 years at the most. And that's not necessarily because that you don't trust the organization or you don't trust that they're doing things in your best interest. A lot of it is lateral moves so that you can either kind of zigzag your way up the ladder. People don't climb the ladder straight up anymore. It's more of a lateral position to a lateral position and so on. And so I think that when we're thinking about retention and those things, we've had surveys of our members, and about 50% are thinking about leaving their organization in the next year. And that's fairly high and can be fairly scary for different managers. And so talking about what drives younger people to want to stay, what will make them have a 40-year career in government. A lot of people in our surveys want to stay in government long-term. The shutdown, we talked about that with our members in terms of does that think that you want to keep a longer-term career? And it's dampened the enthusiasm for doing so, but it hasn't eliminated the desire to do so. Most of our members are driven by public service, driven by that or the mission of the agency. So I think those things can override some of the clouds that can come over. But in terms of building trust, a lot of it comes down to communication and managers just talking with their employees about what do you want to get out of this particular position. It may not be a raise, but maybe you get to go to a senior meeting and take notes. A lot of times you could pay your dues that way. Or just shadow people or different projects that you might want to do, a special project here and there. So not necessarily thinking promotions in the traditional sense because it's hard now, but more of promotions and building that trust where I have your best interest in heart. There's things that are outside of my control, but I want to do what I can to help you.
And Lena, early on, you referred to the churn, particularly of political appointees. And I imagine that also is sort of one of these external factors that can make trust harder to come by just simply because there aren't the same faces at the top. So how does that and again, the other factors we talked about, whether it's coming from Congress or just from the bank, the tough budget, how do those play into trust where you are and how do you guard your team against it?
Well, I think there's two sides to the coin. There's no doubt there are a lot of challenges, for folks who are working in government today, but that's true everywhere. And externalities, although risks can be managed, they can't be fully controlled. So I think it's just something we have to be able to deal with. And, although, externalities can cause friction and can cause stress and can create circumstances in which trust is really put to the test. I think Tyler said it very well when he talked about going through difficult times together as a team can really galvanize a team and help a team build trust with one another. So I think, the key really is for people on the team, particularly leaders, to think very intentionally about strategies to build trust in advance of those sorts of circumstances coming to pass so that you're in good shape when they do, and leveraging those sorts of circumstances when they do come to pass to treat the issue of trust head on and really deal with it very honestly with the team.
And when someone comes in as a political appointee versus someone might be transferred or promoted from another agency or from within the agency, does that present special challenges to establishing trust because people knowing that they are, you know, by definition, not going to be there for a career?
Well, I don't think it's a function of a political appointee or a non-political person coming into a role. I think it is I think the larger issue is there is a new person in the role, and there are things they don't know and need to learn, and there are things that you as an existing member of the team need to inform them of and communicate to them, and you don't really know each other yet. And so
that's a good case of where maybe giving trust will engender trust.
I think that's right, but that's my own personal philosophy. I think other important aspects of that are to be authentic. Right. To really, to be factual, to be dependable and reliable, to be respectful. All of those sorts of things help build trust initially as well.
Tony, I want to get your view too, just in terms of the external factors, and then to respond a little bit to Tyler's point of view, because I think the millennials, if you will, the younger people in government just don't view their career trajectories as I'm guessing people of your generation with 40 years in government do. So that must engender a couple of different questions of trust when you're talking across the generations.
I'm in a unique situation. I have six kids and eight grandkids. So I think I understand the younger generation. They keep me, I think, honest from the standpoint of my views and all. I certainly learn quite a bit from the young folks.
And they keep you home weekends, too, sounds like.
For sure. I'd like to disagree a little bit with what Lena said from the standpoint that people that come in with a short-term attitude that you see with the political appointees that are only going to be there for a couple of years, they know that as a fact as they're coming in. As an administration changes, they're going to change out. And I think the problem that I see with the government organizations is that they're not taking that sort of that long-term strategic view and the vision of really what's best for the organization. He or she are trying to make a name for themselves while they're in there so they can then parlay that into something into private practice. So it really is personality-driven how that plays in. So I think that as we get new people into any organization, the first thing they need to do, I think, is listen to the career people that are in the organization. Find out from them what the problems are first. Don't come in with sort of your game plan, what you want to do, and you really need to learn where the problems are, what needs to be addressed, prioritize from that, get them involved in that.
But let me just play devil's advocate. What if you are coming in as, say, at Lena's agency, at GSA, if you think about the administrator there, Dan Tangerlini came in with a mission from the Obama administration, as opposed to listening to career employees. So what about those political appointees who come in for the very reason that they are beholden to the White House, not necessarily to the organization and the career employees there?
Can I get in on that one? Sure. I do want to say, although it is true that coming in, as Dan did, and managing a crisis is a difficult place to be, and he definitely had a mandate, he listened a lot. He really created both through technology and crowdsourcing and through a lot of one-on-one and team meetings, a lot of opportunity for the folks in the organization at all levels, frontline particularly, to really communicate to him their views on the organization, what was working and what could be improved. So I think back to your point, Tony, again, I'll stand by my statement that I don't think it's a political versus a career thing. And frankly, I'm a little tired of hearing political versus career. I think there is personality that plays into it. There is mandate that plays into it. People who come in the middle of a crisis may be in a particularly difficult situation, but ultimately your main point remains very true. I agree with it wholeheartedly. You have to get a sense for what's really going on before you start making changes.
So it's a function of the skill and deftness and empathy of the person coming in, more so than whether they're coming from political or career, I guess is what we're kind of coming to here.
You really have to put your ego aside, I think, initially, and just listen and hear where the issues are.
All right, and let's hear from Tyler one more time, hearing all these the big shots. You go back
big
and forth
shots
here.
And love to be here and listen to learn from others. And I've seen it both from a political standpoint. I have great relationships with our current politicals, and that's been very helpful. But careers can come in and have that. I'm here for 2 years, and I'm going to get my next GS level. So I think anyone that comes in should be coming in with the attitude of service and attitude of listening, whether your career or political. And it can happen either way. Just sometimes it's more tempting as a political to do it.
You're listening to a special Federal Drive discussion on trust in the federal government. It's part of our special report, Trust Redefined, Reconnecting Government and Its Employees. We've been listening to Tyler Robinson, Portfolio Risk Officer at the Export-Import Bank of the United States and also Chairman of the Executive Board of Young Government Leaders, Lena Trudeau, Associate Commissioner for Strategic Innovations at GSA, and Tony Rigobuto, Chief of the Coast Guard Office of International and Domestic Port Security. You're listening to Federal News Radio 1500 AM, and we'll have more after this short break.
Welcome back to our special live Federal Drive discussion. It's part of our Federal News Radio special report, Trust Redefined, Reconnecting Government and Its Employees. We're talking with three federal employees this morning at different stages of their careers. Tyler Robinson is Portfolio Risk Officer at the Export-Import Bank and Chairman of the Executive Board of Young Government Leaders. Tony Rigobuto is Chief of the Coast Guard Office of International and Domestic Port Security and retired Coast Guard Captain. And Lena Trudeau is the Associate Commissioner for Strategic Innovations at the GSA. I'm Tom Temin, along with guest host. Emily, you're with me day after day after day, morning
I've
after
been
morning.
Guest
How
hosting.
Can I say such a thing?
I've been guest hosting
the
for 2 years now.
The heart of the show herself is Emily Kopp, and you have the first question after that one.
Well, on that, this seems like a very fitting question. First of all, Lena, I want to throw this to you. You said earlier that you give trust, almost by default, that is your first inclination rather than forcing people to earn it. But once they let you down, once trust is broken, can it be
That's
rebuilt?
A relevant question. Broken trust. Emily, how could you?
Well, you just demoted me to a guest host, so I thought I'd throw that in there. But no, Lena, seriously, do you think that, or in your experience, have you found that once your trust is broken, it can be rebuilt? Or is there always that something over your shoulder whispering, can I really trust this person again?
Now, I think it can be rebuilt, but it's very hard work. And it takes people on both sides sort of putting their feelings aside and really looking at the issue, understanding how the issue that broke the trust came about, and then working over time to rebuild it and earn it back. And that is a long process, and it requires authenticity and hard work and delivery and keeping your word and, a number of other things we've discussed today. But I think it can be, and I think in most situations it's worth trying.
And Tyler, let me ask you, as chairman of the executive board rather of Young Government Leaders, you must get this question a little bit from the perspective of people who have earned trust or perhaps need to rely on those who have walked before them to help them, and then they have doubts.
Yeah, it's a very tricky issue, especially as you have all these high expectations coming in and you're like, I'm going to change the world and everything's going to be great. And then you realize, well, this is really hard. And there's a lot of people that can let you down and different things like that. And I think when it comes to rebuilding trust, it's being able to ask for forgiveness and being able to give forgiveness. And it's being able to go in and say, I'm sorry, I broke this trust. I screwed up. It's my bad. And can you forgive me? And then being able to just leave that up to the other person, because it ultimately has to be a two-way street. So the forgiveness aspect is sometimes forgotten in terms of these things. And I think being able to ask for it shows humility and shows that you care about the other person.
Tony, I do want to ask you the same question. You've been on a ship with people, and I imagine that trust has been broken at times in your experience. Can it ever be rebuilt?
Oh, definitely. I think Lena's points were excellent. From the openness of both parties, that's crucial to any type of rebuilding process. So I had one young petty officer. He was the junior person in my command in Jacksonville, Florida. And one day we were going to a Coast Guard function, and he was traveling in a car with someone else, and he put in a travel claim that was a fraudulent claim. So I had seen it firsthand. I am the captain of the port, the commanding officer. So I gave him a choice. I said, you can go to captain's mess and I can take charges against you, or you can get in front of the whole group of people, the whole organization, and to advise them how you messed up. And from that standpoint, then he took that choice and then cried in front of the group. And I think it was a real rebuilding trust of people.
All right. A good way to end that discussion on. Thank you so much. We want to thank our guest, Tyler Robinson, Portfolio Risk Officer at the Export-Import Bank and Chairman of the Executive Board of Young Government Leaders, Lena Trudeau, Associate Commissioner for Strategic Innovations at the GSA, and Tony Regalbuto, Chief of the Office of International and Domestic Port Security at the Coast Guard.
You've been listening to a special Federal Drive discussion on trust between federal employees. Now you can find the entire conversation with the rest of our series, Trust Redefined, Reconnecting Government and Its Employees, online at federalnewsradio.com. Just search trust. And then at 4, Francis Rose is going to conclude the series on In Depth. He'll talk about ethics rules between contractors and government employees. I'm Emily Kopp.
And I'm Tom Temin. Be sure to join us tomorrow morning starting at 6 for the Federal Drive with Tom Temin and Emily Kopp, co-hosts, here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM and federalnewsradio.com. We're your source for federal news now.